I would like to consider with you a little bit the life of Moses. Each of you is here because you believe that God has called you to lead his people. And there is nothing more important that a person could do than to lead God's people. There are various activities involved in leading God's people. One person leads five people into close walk with Christ, into a great knowledge of the things of God. Another man leads 10,000 to raise their hands to make a decision. And there may not be five of those 10,000 whose lives really count for the Lord, like the five the one has led. In other words, we cannot compare who is most effective in leading God's people. God only knows. And some of you, God will lead to be leaders of God's people in one way and some in another way. But I trust that every one of you has come here because you feel that God has called you to lead his people in one way or another. And truly, as we look through the Bible and as we look through the pages of history, aside from the Lord Jesus Christ, it would be hard to find anyone who has done a greater work as a leader of God's people than Moses. Now, there are many chapters in the Old Testament telling us about the life of Moses, but there are two chapters in the New Testament that tell us a considerable bit about the most important things in his life. The first of these is Acts 7, where Stephen, speaking before those who were about to kill him, Stephen referred to Moses. And the second is Hebrews 11, describing the great heroes of the faith, in which it tells about what Moses did. And so I would like to speak to you about three aspects of the life of Moses that I think are particularly important in planning your own life. Someone has said that Moses spent 40 years learning to be somebody and 40 years learning to be nobody. And then for 40 years, he effectively served the Lord. Now that statement, like most such statements, is only partially true. But it does call attention to certain aspects of the life of Moses that are stressed in the New Testament. Moses learned to be somebody. Stephen said in his speech before the Sanhedrin that Moses was trained in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Now God sometimes, when there's a great work to do, sometimes God raises someone up with what to the human being would seem to be no preparation at all. And through that person does a tremendous work. There are such instances, but they are comparatively few. Ordinarily, when God does a work, he trains someone to be thoroughly equipped to handle the problems that will arise in connection with that work. This is particularly evident in the life of Moses. Moses, during 40 years, was recognized as Pharaoh's daughter. It is probable that he led Egyptian armies during that time. It is probable that he directed great building activities. It is probable that he read extensively in the literature of ancient Egypt. He was thoroughly trained as the son of Pharaoh's daughter would be expected to be. Now, as they say, God sometimes does a great work through someone that seems to have no training at all. In fact, sometimes someone who seems to have no more preparation than Balaam's ass is greatly used of the Lord, as Balaam's ass was in turning Balaam away from the path which he was intending to go and leading Balaam to determine as he went that he would stand true to what the Lord ordered him to do. And the result was that though Balaam didn't go back as the Lord told him to, he went ahead. Nevertheless, he went ahead and stuck to the word of God as he went, and therefore gained no reward but only suffering for it. And Balaam's ass was God's messenger. God may use one of you with very little training, as he used Balaam's ass. God may. But this is great. You look at the great workers of history. Moses, of course, thoroughly trained for his work. David, many years of training in various activities before he began his great work for God. The Apostle Paul, thoroughly educated, trained in all the wisdom of the day before he began his great work for God. And when you look at church history, there's no name in ancient church history more revered than that of St. Augustine. And Augustine was thoroughly trained in the wisdom of Greece and Rome before he began the great work to which God called him. Martin Luther was one of the most highly educated men in Germany. When Martin Luther had hidden in the Wartburg from the effort of the emperor to destroy him and decided that he must go back to Wittenberg, where all sorts of crises were developing that only Martin Luther's hand could help, he dressed as a knight and started out because he had to go through the territory of Duke George, who was a fanatical Romanist and would like to destroy Martin Luther. And having go through that territory, he dressed as a knight so he wouldn't be conspicuous. But on the way, he had to stop for dinner at an inn. And the innkeeper noticed he was reading a book. And he thought it's very strange for a knight to be reading a book. As he sat waiting for his dinner, he was reading this book. And so the knight whispered to the waitress and said, "Glance at what he's looking at." And she glanced and she said, "Some queer marks on the paper. I don't understand what they are. The only thing I've seen that looks at all like them is the marks on a synagogue." And Martin Luther was sitting there reading his Hebrew Bible. And the marvel is that that didn't give him away, because it'd be hard to imagine a knight reading, imagine him reading the Hebrew Bible. Well, the Bible says that in thy law I will meditate day and night. And Luther was thoroughly trained, and he was constantly studying to improve himself and advance himself in knowledge. John Calvin was thoroughly educated before he began his great work for God. John Wesley was a fellow of Oxford University and highly educated before he began that work which for some centuries produced some of the great leaders of God's people throughout the world. Unfortunately, most of those who today belong to the organizations that were founded following Wesley have departed far from the teachings of the Bible to which Wesley held thoroughly. People speak about Dwight L. Moody, who had little education. And Dwight L. Moody did a tremendous work throughout the world. But when Moody came to select somebody to work alongside of him and to carry on his work after he was gone, he chose R.A. Torrey, graduate of Yale, one who had studied in Germany and was thoroughly educated and trained. And after Moody's death, Reuben Torrey went around the world holding great campaigns at which thousands were brought to the Lord. Ordinarily, the Lord uses instruments that are thoroughly prepared for his work. Moses was trained in all the knowledge of the Egyptians. I had a student once who was a very good friend of mine who later became quite well known and who was our commencement speaker last spring, Dr. Francis Schaeffer. And Francis Schaeffer, before he decided to devote his life to the Lord's work, took some training in mechanical drawing. And he said one day, "Oh, those hours I spent studying mechanical drawing, what a waste. If only I'd gone straight on to study the Bible. And to get the training I'd use in my work." And then after graduation, Francis Schaeffer became assistant to the pastor of a large church for a time, and the time came when they built a new building for a Sunday school building. And Francis Schaeffer was able to see, to study the architect's drawings and understand them in a way I never would, and to make suggestions that added much to the effectiveness of that building. And he said to me, I felt those years I spent studying mechanical drawing were wasted. But he said, the Lord knew what was ahead. The Lord led me through that. And the Lord prepared me for that work. God wants you to give your best for God. He wants us to be sound in the faith. He doesn't want us to be all sound. He wants us to be good. But he wants us to be good for something. And so as you take up the study of Greek and Hebrew, for many of you it will be a struggle. It will be a hard job. But those who have carried it through testify that the increased understanding of God's word that it gave, the ability to deal with new problems as they meet them, even if they seem unpleasant to them as they face them, was worth every minute of the time and effort that it took. Now, in the way we are set up here now, some of you face a problem. Shall you begin Greek and Hebrew now and do your work in 3 years? Or shall you take Greek this year and take Hebrew next year and spread your work over 4 years? And with the inflation and the increasing costs of everything, a very great number find it necessary to spread over 4 years. But it's hard to know until you've tackled those languages just what you want to do in that regard. I think of two opposite extremes. I think of one fellow who came here, and as we looked at his college schedule and his marks, we said it will surely take him 4 years to complete his work. Just take one language. And so he took Greek, started on a four-year basis, but he went to the Hebrew classes. And he went to the Hebrew class and did the work, and after a few weeks, we found that he was doing top work in both Greek and Hebrew. And so he was then permitted to sign up for Hebrew. And he did his work in 3 years and did outstanding work. Now if he had, as we advised him to do, postponed his Hebrew till the second year, he would have been obliged to spend 4 years to get his work, because there would be no way to make that up and still get through. You need Hebrew for your last 2 years of work. On the other hand, there was one fellow who came here, and he said he had good marks in college. College is different, so it's hard for us to tell from the college marks what kind of work you'll do. And in addition to that, many people in college do not have much motivation. They're studying this and that and the other thing, and they don't see a great deal of purpose in it. And then they get here, and they're studying the Word of God, and they should be able to see how everything they get here is going to enter into making their lives count for God. And they do work of a different caliber altogether than they did in college. So it's hard for us to advise. But this fellow came with good marks from college, and he said, oh, you can do it in 3 years. And so he started Greek and Hebrew. And then after he had gone on for a few weeks, he found that he was flunking in both languages. But he said, I'm doing better in Hebrew than Greek, so I'll drop the Greek. Now that, I think, is foolish, because it is good to get the Greek foundation first if you have to take them in a certain order. You can do it the other way, but it's better that way. And so after a few weeks, he dropped his Greek, but then he was so far behind in Hebrew that at the end of the semester, he failed his Hebrew. And who knows, if he'd only started with Greek and worked hard in it, he might have done a good work in Greek and then taken Hebrew the next year. So don't be in too much hurry deciding about that matter. If possible, do what the first man I said did. But above all, get your Greek solid. If you want to try both of them now, get the Greek solid. And if you have to neglect the Hebrew and have to drop it, it's better to get one of them solid the first year, and that should be Greek, than it is to get a smattering of both. Get your Greek solid. If you can get the Hebrew too, fine. Do it in 3 years. But it's too bad to have to tie yourself down in the first year as to what you're going to do. But under our basis, it is possible. It is impossible to avoid it, because there is the matter that our last 2 years of work built on both languages. Now, of course, there are seminaries that believe that God is a symbol for ethical value, and the purpose that we have is to try to do good in the world, and we'll find some good things in the Bible, but there's an awful lot of junk in it, so we're not particularly concerned. And if those institutions even require any Greek or Hebrew, why, you could just as well take it your last semester, because you don't use it in your work anyway. But that's not the way here. We get a foundation in the languages, and then we learn to look at the Bible with the languages in mind and see exactly what it means, and then we take what it means in different sections, and we put it together and compare Scripture with Scripture, and we learn to interpret the Bible so that we're not parroting what people have said in past days or what some other person said. But as new problems develop, we want our graduates to be able to go to the Word of God and study the relevant passages with which they should all be already be familiar from their general study of the Bible, and see exactly what God's answer is to new problems as they develop that you can't find in books, because previous people have not faced those particular problems.